the pitching from where it was in the middle of the season when walking lots of guys and having a hard time to go to the level, at least where it was last weekend. Have you seen that coming all year?
I don't know if this is appropriate or accurate is the word. It's like an upside down bell curve. You know, for the first 20 whatever ball games, we had the number one pitching staff in America.
Right.
I know a lot of that was non-conference before we got in the conference, but this team, this exact team, won 15 games in a row, including a sweep starting off in SEC play with Tennessee, which we all feel like is a pretty good ball club at the end of the day. So we definitely lost our way, and I really think it was the command of the strike zone. And then, you know, getting banged up a little bit. We keep referencing Davis Daniel, but Davis only threw two innings opening day. You know, they can't really use that as an excuse. But just how they filled in and just hung in there, and, you know, players are allowed to get better, and that's what they did. And circle back around. The pitching thing that made the most, that I noticed the most, is just in that regional, how they work so fast. I saw it in the Tennessee game, the first game of the tournament, seeing Elliott and definitely Bailey Horn working quick. And Trevor, Richard Fitz, Bailey Horn, Cody Greenhill always works quick. But just seeing that, I saw confidence restored. I think we walked one guy the last two games of the regional. And that is a vast improvement. But it really got back to some things that we were doing early in a good stretch that was forgotten when we got lost in the middle of the year.
How much of an emotional roller coaster has it been for this team? The way you've won some games, even at the end of the regular season, the way you've lost in the SEC tournament, and then obviously what happened to Rye. Has it been up in such a roller coaster kind of emotionally?
You know, we're at the same spot we were last year, but this has been one of the hardest drives. Sometimes that makes it even sweeter, right? It makes it even when you don't think something's going to happen. When a vision is when you can't see it anymore, and then it happens, that makes it even more powerful. You know, when you can see it and taste it and do all that, it's like it's so expected. And once we got into the middle of the year, it was harder to see us being able to be standing there at the end of a regional competition. So this made this one a little bit sweeter. The setbacks in our community have made it tougher. The injuries have made it harder. Some guys that had better years last year have made it tougher, but we're still kicking, and we were given an opportunity, and we did make the most of it, and that's exciting. So if we play this brand of baseball again, I like our chances, the consistency. Can we continue to head into this next tournament and play the same with the same energy? Guys were flying around. I saw joy on their faces. You know, can we stay in that mode? And there's no doubt. Really, no individual really led us there. I think Greenhill and Bliss have been maybe the two most consistent players this entire year. But this step up that we've had with more players contributing, consistency is going to be our key. Can we be as consistent this week as we were last week? I think that's going to define our opportunity or to go to Omaha or not go to Omaha.
How tough was it on this team when you guys travel a lot together? You have long weekend season series with Rod. And then all of a sudden he's gone. How hard was that on this team, and how much did it kind of force them to come together maybe?
I can only speak for myself. Of course, I met with the entire team. We talked about we have so many resources here to get guys help and stuff like that, and we haven't used any of that. Baseball has been like a blessing for us. Baseball has been a blessing for our fans and how they showed up, and it's a great rally to take us away. Personally, I don't think I've been – to the point where I've dealt with it yet. I still feel like he's here. I still hear some inserts of him making calls, and even after one of our games, they did a great job of putting that in there to honor him. I don't think I've dealt with it yet. I think as the days go on, I'll start missing him more, and I'm going to realize that we're not going to sit over here on the bench and talk again prior to a game. It'll sink in a little bit more. But, you know, most heartbroken I've been is we win the regional and get up the next morning and we're coming back and I got my suit, and I never have a suit on a baseball trip, and I brought my thing and I had to put my suit back on the bus. And it just brings you right back down to where you're like, man, this is a special time for a program. But then you got to pick up a suit and take it back and drag it with your bag. We're not used to that in baseball. So. But I just want to make sure we honor him and we're not using Rod Paula to try to win baseball games. We want them with us and honor them and the children that are still here. But in the same way, I want to make sure I'm a respectful coach because the season's still going on, that we're only honoring him, that we're not trying to use their name to get one more base hit or have one more magical moment. They're with us, and I'll take whatever happens with our ball club. I'm settled, and I'm with our ball club, and I would love it. It's been 6 years since I've been out there on that awesome, awesome experience. I want these guys to experience that, but I just think in the coming days I'll deal with it more because it's just now starting to come to me, that realization, because this time of year you're just playing and moving and everything's really blurry. Probably another blessing of us still playing baseball is allowing us to this sink in slowly instead of hitting us, you know, right between the eyes.
But, you know, I read an article on ESPN yesterday about Will, and they kind of mentioned that, I guess it was coaches that changed up a swing this year. Do you feel like that's an accurate kind of representation of what happened, that you guys worked with a swing, changed up his two-strike approach at all?
I don't know. I think in our deal, I think he was kind of slow as a freshman, but he played a ton. This was more like his freshman year than his sophomore year. You know, last year he hit 12 home runs, just north of 50 RBI. The fall was kind of slow. We were kind of slow from the get-go. So I just think he's continued to try to find some. I'm really glad the last 12 or 13 games to see him return back. And I think they worked so hard for a while, him and Gabe, trying to find something. It wore them both out. But I know they have hung together. You can't really see the work that they've done back there in that cage. And they never quit, and that's kind of what I keep talking about, the whole team. It was a lot of times those teams could have just went away and let the season just played out, and we just kind of go away. And they didn't do that. They kept hanging in there, and then I think Will woke up first. And when Will woke up, then here come, you know, Steven in the regional, and some good things have happened. So he was wider. He's been lower. He's been here. Just like I think of my – Cal Ripken Jr., he probably was the master of about 50 stances. And Will will take this experience this year, and he'll keep learning now as a professional and keep growing. And he'll be able to recall that he was able to come out of this, and it's going to help him. So he's so athletic. This is that time of year where the athletes still shine and some other guys are getting tired, and Will Holland's in that category. Now that he's got the draft, he can put that to bed. He gets to roll into a super regional, athletic, and much as his body's moving around, I'm excited about what's to come.
Do you see Ed kind of breaking out a little bit too?
Yeah, and I think it's quiet. I don't think it's been like the thunder, but it's been some balls dropping in, even some fly balls, the hits in the middle, and I'm like, all right, he made the SEC tournament team, and then he hits 300 and really? I think it's coming. It's quiet, and here at some point, that quiet getting a few hits might turn into starting to blow a gap, or if we see one ball go the other way and beat those outfielders, it might be on for him to really do something powerful right now.
What have you seen from North Carolina?
I just the arms and the people that I talk to, and they can get better in the bullpen. It's always a mark of a really good ball club. I was telling people earlier that when that happens, you need to be interested in getting a lead. So get ahead and try to stay ahead and try to build. So that's imperative. We come out in this regional and did that. We thought that was really important too. But we always want to score first. Sometimes that's easier said than done. But I think that's important if they continue to get to some good arms. So the arms is what I think of first, and the bullpen arms being special and a lot of velocity. I think we'll see a little deeper staff, a little more talented bullpen than maybe what we encountered in the regional. I thought Georgia Tech's offense that's the number three national seed. You're going to see a couple left-handers in the top of the lineup. Like, their best hitter is probably their leadoff guy. You're talking about 18 home runs for a leadoff guy. You're talking about, you know, some guys that are going in the top 10 picks. They had a couple guys selected last night. So I think they could run a little bit more than the Georgia Tech team that we face. So, although I thought top to bottom that Georgia Tech was a special offensive club that really battled with two strikes and had home run threats in the middle. Tristan English is as good a hitter we faced this year, and we played in the toughest division in America. But I think I'm really impressed by their arms. I think getting the lead and getting out ahead, if we're going to slow down, it gets really hard to score runs late. That makes it tough on anybody. So that's the biggest thing I see. And I just – they've done this so much recently. They've played at home this time of the year. That's their advantage. They've got a track record and have had a lot of success this time of the year. Again, we got to go walk into somebody's park and do it. And but we've done it before, and we've been right there before recently. And I'm banking on and trying to get our guys prepared that it's our time.
May have already talked about it, but initial thoughts on rotation, Jack, Bailey, and then?
I think it's Owen and Horn, 1 and 2. And then hopefully later on today I can get my arms around really how we're going to use Tanner Burns this weekend. What's different in a three-game series like a typical SEC series is you know you're going to play three games. You can almost go TBA in the middle and start somebody game three. You're not even – neither team is guaranteed a third game. I mean, first time somebody wins two games, it's over. So I think we're just announcing the first two starters. There's no thought of the third game right now, and we're trying to line up. Of course, Fitz, can't forget, you know, we've got a contribution. We've got Elliot Anderson, Ryan Watson from game one, Fitz. If we wind up back-ending Burns a little bit, that gives you a little more length with Greenhill. And that's kind of who we are at this stage to try to go put our best foot forward in a three-game series.